I must confess that as I have journeyed through Lent this year, I have found myself hounded by an unwelcome intruder. The intruder's name is death. Coming in many guises, death's presence has reminded me that life is fragile, and that in the blink of an eye, lives can change dramatically by its appearance. As I look around me, I see the scattered bones that reveal death's destructive power in my life and in the life of people around me and in many of your lives. But let's be real. The specter of death comes in many guises. There is the physical guise. Too many family, friends, and parishioners have died in the last year. And memorial services, burials, and interments continue to mount. But death comes in other guises as well. Many of you and those whom you love have found yourselves suddenly stricken with unexpected illnesses and diseases that have landed you in hospital beds or rehab centers. Some of us have faced personal crises that have threatened to strain relationships and rip families apart. Others of you have been deeply distressed by the turbulence of our political processes and the volatility of world unrest, with little hope of resolution seemingly in the near future. Yes, death has come among us, destroying life, destroying relationships, destroying health, destroying the fabric of nations, and leaving the scattered bones of fear, anxiety, and hopelessness in its wake. And we come here today as a people amid those scattered bones. We come burdened by regrets and anxieties. We come broken in our body or in spirit. We come deeply feeling the pain resulting from the divisions, injustices, and conflicts that pervade our world. And we come seeking a word of hope from God, our Creator and our Deliverer. And through a vision of Ezekiel, God encounters us this morning, bids us look around at the bones that death has left in its wake. And God addresses us and puts forth a question for you and I to ponder. Mortal, can these bones live? That vision of Ezekiel reminds us, as it has reminded every generation, that God not only gives life, but restores life. That death will not have the last word, even when all signs of life have seemingly been taken away. Our God is the Holy One, the Creator, who sustains and restores life. Can these bones live? God asks Ezekiel, challenging the prophet and all who have ever looked into the face of death, calling for a response. And Ezekiel answers, "O Lord God, you know." And God does know. It is the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One, who created the world and all that is in it, who brought a people to birth through Abraham and Sarah, who freed their descendants from the living death of slavery in Egypt and entered into covenant with them, who raised up judges and kings and prophets and calling them again and again and again to life while they continued to choose ways that led to death. Ezekiel's vision is given to Israel, a people who have lost heart, who are suffering a death of spirit, a living death, as they exist in exile in a foreign land. For those people of Israel, their temple has been destroyed, their holy city plundered and left in ruins, their leaders maimed and put in chains, their soldiers put to the sword, their young men either killed or dragged off into a foreign country. And Ezekiel witnesses the soul of his people. And he sees it gradually withering and dying. And the people of Israel are becoming as lifeless as a valley of dry bones. And God asks Ezekiel, can these bones live? Is there hope? I would maintain that this vision is held up again today, when so many in the world have had their own experience of dry bones, both literally and figuratively. Our earth has been fashioned into massive graveyards of dry bones, transforming valleys full of life into deserts of desolation and death. From the Philippines to the Ukraine, from Syria to Afghanistan, from the streets of Chicago to the shacks of Appalachia, death has come in many forms. The one common denominator being the physical, emotional, and spiritual toll that death exacts from people to reduce them to a state of dry bones. And to those people, to you and I, and to people of countless ages past and in the future, God asks, can these bones live? Well, today we hear a promise that only God can give. God tells the prophet to speak to these bones, saying, thus says the Lord God, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And so it happens. And this breath is the Spirit of God, the life-giving essence that God breathed into the first human creatures in the garden, the breath that gives us life. And this breath brings forth life in the story of Lazarus. This same breath was breathed into Jesus crucified, lifting him up to resurrected life. That breath is the breath of life that comes to us in the form of the Holy Spirit. And this breath moves through the world, raising all people, you and me, and all people to new life when all the odds are against it. We need to hear this vision of Ezekiel in the valley of the dry bones, because it cuts to the core of our very being and gives us the hope we yearn for. That valley of dry bones is a scene meant to live in the imagination of our hearts when we find ourselves gasping for breath, struggling to stay alive as we deal with the bones, both real and metaphorical, that intrude in our lives. We need to know that the breath of life enters our lives and brings healing and new life. We need to know that people who have brought us joy and love only to be wrenched away from us by death find new life in being one with God. We need to know that in the aftermath of a loved one's death, we can find new life of our own. And we need to know that those metaphorical deaths that assault us will also bring forth new life. We need to know that broken relationships can be healed. We need to know that the deeper bonds of love and faith can envelop us in the midst of failing health. We need to know that those life events that seem to destroy our hopes and our dreams can become opportunities for God's love to fill our lives with unexpected joy and peace. We need to know that God's mission is ongoing in the world today, and that the uncertainties and injustices and suffering that we witness cannot and will not overcome God's love for the people of the world. We need to be assured that our God cares, that our God loves, and that our God gives us life. Lent is moving quickly toward the days of Holy Week. And when the vision of Ezekiel comes face to face with us in the coming week, we may well find ourselves asking, can the bones of a crucified man live? If Ezekiel's vision has touched us, then when that time comes, by faith we reply, "Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe in the one who created us, who is the source of all life. I believe in Jesus, the crucified one, the risen one, who died and rose that we might have abundant life. I believe in the Spirit of God, the divine breath that brings new life wherever it blows." And for those of us who do believe in the Holy One, who creates, sustains, and blesses us with life, when we face our own vision of desolation and dry bones, when God encounters us with a question that probes the depth of our faith, when God says to us, "Mortal, can these bones live?" We can, from the depth of our being, join with Martha, who was confronted with Ezekiel's vision when her brother Lazarus died, and along with her shout out with a joyous abandon, "Yes, Lord, most definitely yes. I believe that you are the one who gives life." Amen.